Well, Hearts, once again, thanks for joining us today here on Challenge. And before we go any further in today's message, I want to first bring you the briefing that Jim Randolph, attorney here in town, gave us concerning the proposed changes to, especially to Article 4 of the Florida Constitution. So I want you to listen to this carefully, and I want you to join myself and countless others as we pray, asking the Lord to defeat this proposed change to the Florida Constitution. Here's Jim.
Jim, in recent days, we've been explaining to people why they need to vote in such a way as to absolutely defeat Amendment Number 4, the proposed change to the Florida Constitution in Amendment Number 4. What I would like for you to do is very clearly explain to the people how it is misworded and why they have to deny this thing, why we have to defeat Number 4. Go ahead.
Well, thank you, Bob. As you know, I'm an attorney here in Jacksonville, and I've been practicing law for 40 years. And I want to go over the language, because words have meaning, Bob, and in the law, and whether it's in the Bible, words have very specific meanings. And so we've got to be very, very careful when we look at some of these amendments, particularly Amendment 4, which deals with abortion. It's two sentences. That's the text of the actual amendment, which will go to the voters in just a week from this Tuesday. And let me just read the first sentence, because there's so much here to talk about and how deceitful it is that I want your audience to understand what's going on.
Okay.
First sentence says, no law shall prohibit, penalize, delay, or restrict abortion before viability or when necessary to protect the patient's health as determined by the patient's health care provider. So let's break this down. When they say no law, that means exactly what it says. When this becomes an amendment to the state constitution, there's nothing that the Florida legislature can do to restrict this amendment. So no law shall prohibit, penalize, delay, or restrict abortion before viability. Now, viability is not defined within this amendment. However, the medical literature states that viability is somewhere between 26 to 28 weeks when that child is in the mother's womb. So we're talking about a six-month-old child inside the mother's womb. That's just the first part. And that six-month-old child can feel pain. Anyone who is seen a woman who's 6 months pregnant, you see how large that child is, Bob. And in fact, if you go back and you read the scriptures, when Elizabeth met Mary, Elizabeth's baby, John the Baptist, was 6 months old. He leaped inside her womb with joy, Bob. That also tells me that that six-month-old unborn child has emotion.
You're right.
Okay? And so when we look at this, This very first part of the first sentence allows abortion up to 6 months, no exceptions whatsoever. But it gets worse, okay, because then it says, or when necessary to protect the patient's health. Now, the next word that I want to key in on is the patient's health. You notice it doesn't say life. And from a legal standpoint, there is a huge difference between a patient's health and a patient's life, okay? Health can mean anything. It can mean anxiety. It can mean depression. It can mean they've got a headache. They got a backache. And so when you open up this broad term of health versus life, it makes a huge, huge difference. So you can have any health care provider, because if you look at the next part of that amendment, Bob, it says, as determined by the patient's health care provider. What does that mean? That's not defined in the amendment either. Could it be a chiropractor? Yup. Could be a psychologist? Yes. Could it be a nurse practitioner? There are health care providers. There's nothing in this amendment that says it has to be an MD or an OBGYN. Hmm. Okay. So you look at this and you're going to have a situation where it's going to be abortion on demand up to the moment of birth because of that language right there, Bob. Okay.
Okay.
And so Now, I was actually on a phone call last night with Governor DeSantis. It was one of those mass callings out, and he was going through some things. One of the things that I want to prove to you that shows how deceptive this amendment is let's go back to the first part. No law shall prohibit, penalize, delay. And I want to key in on the word delay. That word right there is going to open up the door to taxpayer-funded abortions in the state of Florida. You're saying, Jim, how can that be? Come on. It doesn't say that. Well, let me just tell you what happened. Back in 2022 in Michigan, they passed an amendment allowing abortion essentially on demand. Just in the past 4 months, the ACLU up in Michigan filed a lawsuit because up there, taxpayer-funded abortions are not allowed. But the ACLU filed a lawsuit and says, there's an amendment now to our Constitution, and these people are entitled to an abortion, and it needs to be paid for by the state of Michigan. And the language that they used in their complaint used the word, believe it or not, delay. I'm telling you, the same lawyers that filed that amendment and filed a lawsuit with the ACLU up in Michigan were behind the drafting of this amendment in Florida. That word delay is in there for a reason. Here's the way it works from a legal standpoint. Okay. Someone can't afford an abortion. There's a law in the book says there's no, you know, state of Florida is not going to fund with taxpayer money abortions. They say, whoa, here's what the ACLU comes in and says, hang on a second. There's a amendment to the state constitution that says no law shall delay abortions. And if you don't fund these abortions, it is a delay and it is a violation of the state constitution. Therefore, the state of Florida must pay for these abortions. And that's how they do it, Bob. I'm telling you, I've been a lawyer for 40 years, okay? Words have meanings in the law, and this is how they twist it around, and they use it to get taxpayer-funded abortions, okay? I'm telling you, it's coming. They've already done it in the state of Michigan. If this thing passes, this is what they're going to do in the state of Florida. You know, the other thing I want to talk about, Bob, is I've seen ads on television, on some news stations, things like that, where they have people come on and say, you know, if you get raped, you can't have an abortion in the state of Florida. And that's a total lie. And if anyone in your listening audience wants to look it up, all they have to go is to Google Florida statute 390.0111. And it specifically lays out that there are exceptions, not only for rape, but for incest and for human trafficking. There's also exceptions if it's to save the woman's life or avert a serious risk of substantial and irreversible physical impairment of a major bodily function of the pregnant woman. Okay? So there's already these exceptions in there. The Planned Parenthood lobby is funding these commercials, and they're out and out lies. They're just flat out lies because there are exceptions in the current law, the 390.0111. Feel free to look it up and read it yourself, that allows for abortions in those circumstances. So it's the language of this amendment, if it passes, will be such that we will have abortion on demand up to the moment of birth. Now, there's one more thing, Bob, and I appreciate all this time that you've given me, but there's one more thing that I want to talk about. The amendment, the last sentence of the amendment, talks about parental notification. People, oh, that's good. Notification is not consent. Under the current state of law in Florida, no minor can have any type of surgical procedure without the written consent of the parent. This amendment to the Constitution, Bob, specifically uses the word notification, and from a legal standpoint, there is a huge difference between consent and notification. That's what we're dealing with. So I know I've thrown a lot of information out there, but trust me, from a legal perspective, this is what this amendment means. This is what's going to happen if this thing passes. From a legal standpoint, we will have abortions on demand up to the moment of birth. Florida will probably become the abortion destination of our nation. That's how bad this thing is. Absolutely, absolutely evil. That's what this thing is. It's evil.
Then it's got to be defeated. So we'll be calling people to prayer, and the people need to understand when they go to the polls or when they go to vote what they're voting for and what they're voting against. All right. I'm going to let the radio congregation get this information. I'm going to start wearing it, airing it, and I appreciate your time, and I appreciate you making the stand you're making, Jim. Be blessed, my brother.
Thanks, Bob. God bless you.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, now, folks, I'm going to take you into the service we had yesterday morning here at Challenge Ministries. And as I told you, I had each of the elders come up and pray, leading us in prayer about the proposed changes to the Florida Constitution. Understand this about the eldership of Challenge. These men have been with me 30 years or better. One is a retired detective from the intelligence unit of the Sheriff's Department. Another is a retired lieutenant commander in the Navy. Another is a chiropractic physician. And another is a forklift operator in a warehouse in St. Augustine. But I want you to understand, these men are serious for the Lord, and they're prayer warriors. And so I had them take the service yesterday morning and lead us in prayer. So I'm going to take you into that service now. I'll start out with opening some comments, then we'll take you into the part of the service where they themselves lead us in prayer concerning the proposed changes to the Florida Constitution and as they prayed for this election. Let's go there right now, and may God bless you as you listen. But last night, something started stirring in my spirit, and I'll tell you what it was. It is this. I'm 89 years old, and in my 89 years, I've never seen my nation where it is today. I've never seen a presidential election with more import than this one. And so last night, the Lord started birthing something in my spirit. I got with the elders this morning, and it bore witness with their spirit. We're going to pray for this election today. The message is prepared. I'm not going to preach. We're going to pray. I'm going to have each of the elders pray and give you the opportunity to pray anything on your heart. But, folks, I'm telling you, depending on how this goes Tuesday, it can set the course for this nation for years to come. I have my preference, but I pray His will. We all have a preference, and I don't know what your preference is. That's between you and God. But we got to pray that His will be done. And I dare say that across the nation today, you're going to have churches that are giving themselves to some prayer in this respect. We need a move of God. We need a move of God in this nation. And the only way we're going to get that is through repentance and prayer. So I've already met with the elders. They all agreed. So we're going to take the Lord's table, and then we're going to have the elders come up, and we're going to start prayer. And then anything you want to pray, add to it, we'll take time for that. We need prayer, folks. I've never seen my nation where it is now. I was a kid during the Second World War, but I remember flights of bombers flying over treetop level across my home. I remember things about the Second World War. Changed our nation. Changed our nation forever. And it's gone downhill since then. So this morning, we're asking God. We have political preferences. Each and everybody in here, we each have political preferences. Jesus had a preference. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, thy will be done. So I want you praying whatever the Spirit of God lays on your heart to pray while these people are praying. But they're going to lead us in prayer. We want to agree with them in prayer. And prayerfully, hopefully, Tuesday, going forward, we'll see the results of this prayer time. Amen. Quinn.
Father, first of all, I want to thank you for being a house of the Lord this morning, Father God. Yes. We're so thankful, Father God, to be here in freedom. Father, to worship the way we want to worship, Father God. Father, in the worship service this morning was truly blessed, Father God.
Yes, yes.
Truly blessed, Father God. You're all over this, Father
yes.
God.
Yes.
I believe that Jesus Christ is amongst us. His Spirit is here this morning with us. We're two or more gathered together. And when we agree, he will hear our prayers. So, Father God, it's people think sometimes when I talk that the craziest things happen to me. And I was praying on the way to church this morning because Kathy's got a little sickness going on. She's fine. And I said, God, reveal to me everything in my life where I've grieved your spirit of sin. And I've said it in the past. You know, God, forgive me for everything, right? And I just started looking back and thinking. And I asked for forgiveness for it to cleanse my soul. Just I said, Father God, just this morning give me a clean slate. Had no clue what Bob's going to do. But I just want to be clean, Father God.
Amen.
So that you'll hear my heart, my prayers. Because sin blocks those prayers, Father God. And Father, I believe with all my heart, this is what you said to me this morning. Donald Trump is not a God.
No.
He is not our salvation.
Nope.
Kamala Harris, Father God, I don't know if she's saved. And then instantly you said, don't be a judge of her. Who has witnessed to her? Who has spoken the word of God to her? Who has given and afforded her the opportunity you had, Quinn? And then I thought about the Supreme Court justices and the Congress and the Senate. No one person can change this nation.
That's right.
No one person, Father God, we've gone too far. Father, we took the wives of the women movement, Father God, out of the homes. Father, we took prayer out of the homes. Father, we glorified homosexuality. Father, we kill not a few, Father, millions of innocent lives through abortion. Father, we've allowed the church to be infiltrated with ungodliness, acceptance. Amen. I heard a quote that stuck to me this morning. It says, whatever you're not changing, you're choosing. And Bob's preached it forever. You're either for God or against God. There's no middle ground. You're either this or you're that. You're either with God or you're not. I'm either changing what I don't like in my life or I'm choosing to accept it. Am I choosing all these years to sit back and accept sin? To accept the will of Satan over the will of God? When they took prayer out of schools, did I remove my children and teach them from home? Did we make sacrifices, Lord God, to keep the wives at home, Father God, to raise our kids, to be that helpmate, Father God, to be that partner, that prayer warrior with us, Father God? Did we do anything, Father, as a church to change where we're at today? And Father, I know this church has prayed, your will be done, no matter what it takes, to put this nation on our knees in repentance and prayer and giving you all the honor and glory that you deserve, Father God. Have we done that? And Father, I'm saying that we have not done that, and I admit that as sin for this the church, Father God, your church. And Father, when you have 80, 85, probably more now, people sitting in church that are not saved, that are not living a godly, holy, clean life, Father God. And I've been there. I'm one of them. I'm saved, Father God. Praise God, you saved me. But have I done everything that I could for the kingdom of God every moment of every day? And I'm not Jesus Christ. He did, Father God. He gave his whole life for me. And so, Father, I've made my mistakes. The church have made the mistakes, Father God. But now we're so blind and so tuned out that now we're sitting back And I've heard the preaching before, us four no more. Am I hiding the light? Is the church hiding the light? So, Father, my prayer today, Father God, you know about the revival. I prayed many months, years, Father God, for revival. My prayer today is to lift that light, Father God, out from the darkness of Jesus Christ into this nation, Father God.
Yes, Lord.
Father, I pray for salvation, Father God, a spirit of movement through you, Father God, that will bring people to their knees, Father God, open their eyes and their hearts, Father God. Father, one of the greatest commandments you ever gave us was to love thy neighbor as yourself, Father God. And Father, you showed me this morning driving in. I don't care whether you're black or white, Hispanic or Asian, or gay, or whatever they call it, a transgender. I don't care what it is. This nation has lost the ability to love. Father God, we have lost that ability. We have hate and anger replaced by love. It's Satan's will, Father God. He has slowly but surely wiped out everything, God, that you want in our lives.
Amen.
He's done that, and we've allowed it, Father God. So I'm asking, Father God, for repentance and prayer for this nation, Father God, and for us to take back what Satan has taken from us as a nation,
Yes.
as a person, as a family. And Father God, I know November the 6th, no matter what happens, Kamala Harris and Donald Trump is not my God.
That's right.
You are God and will be God and will forever be God. And, Father, yes, your will be done is what I'm praying, Father God. But my will, Father God, my prayer, Father God, is to go back, Father God, to a God-loving nation.
Yes.
Father, where we love each other, no matter what circumstance you're in, I will reach out to you no matter what happens, Father God. That's what I want for my great-grandkids and grandkids and my kids today, Father. I don't want them to live in a nation of hate. Father God, I don't want them to live in a nation that doesn't know Jesus Christ as the King of Kings. And Father, I'm praying for that will be done, Father God, that you hear our prayers this morning, Father God, for all the teachings we've set through, all the songs we've sang, Father God, and all the prayers we lifted up today, Father God. I'm asking that you hear our prayers this morning.
Yes, Lord.
Father, touch those, Father God, that need a healing. Touch those, Father God, that need financial help. Father, but touch this nation, Father God. May the angel, the warring angels of Jesus Christ, Father, and it's nothing more than a spiritual battle.
That's right.
Every day in our heads, it's a spiritual battle. You're either for God or against God. Everything you say and do, Father God. So, Father, I'm asking you, Father God, to touch this nation. Bring us back to our knees, Father God, of repentance and prayer. Father, cleanse every man of God that's got any word that's preaching that is not of your will, of your work, Father, that's taking advantage. Clean them out, Father God.
Yes, Lord.
May they repent and ask for forgiveness, and fathers not manipulate the people or money. Father, we've gone from capitalism to greed. It's all about greed, Father. It's all about the dollar. That's why people work. That's why they work more hours than they need to. That's why we forgot about our families. That's why we forgot about our church. That's why we forgot about our tithe. That's why we've done everything, Father, is for the dollar. And I pray, Lord Jesus Christ, whatever your will is done, Father God, to wipe that out of this system, I pray you will do that this election, Father.
Amen.
Period. Father God, I want a nation, a godly, holy nation, Father God, for my great-grandkids. That's what I want, Father God. Father, I want all this stuff, Father God, that we're seeing, the sicknesses and the disease and the minds of people, Father God, where the wrong is right, where you can stand up and call people's names and spit in their faces and do all this stuff, Father God. That's not us, Father God.
Right.
And I just pray, Lord Jesus Christ, that this election, Father God, your will be done. But, Father, I want with all my heart, Father God, that nation that you built, Father God.
Yes, yes.
That you built, Father God, that you blessed, Father God, that We didn't win World War II, Father God. You did.
That's right.
Father God, you have won every war we've ever been in, Father God. You have blessed this nation over and over and over again, Father God. And Father, that's my prayer this morning. Hear my heart, Father God. Do away with greed. Do away with every will that Satan has imposed upon us that we've accepted as a church and as a nation, Father God. Yeah. I pray and rebuke it in the name of Jesus Christ and speak the blood of Christ on this nation, through this nation, Father God. And I pray you will bless us, Father God, this Tuesday, Father God, that these things we're praying this morning will happen, Father God. You will hear our prayer, Father God. And it's your holy and precious name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Hear his prayer, Lord. Hear his prayer, Lord. Hear his prayer.
Thank you. Heavenly Father, this Tuesday, as pastors pointed out, will probably make or break this nation. And I agree wholeheartedly that I'm 67, and this is the worst I've ever seen, the worst mess of a nation I've ever seen. Father, I remember when, as a kid, you could ride your bicycle to the local convenience store without fear of being kidnapped or shot. I remember, Father, preachers back in the day would preach heaven and hell with equal enthusiasm. Not just speak about the love and mercy of God alone, but also tell us about the consequences of our sin.
Amen.
Which we don't seem to have quite as much anymore. And as Quinn pointed out, Father, the massive slaughter of innocent children, no wonder we have murders in the streets. We have opened up the doors to the pits of hell for invading our nation, invading our communities, ourselves, even our churches, with demonic influences that have deteriorated and destroyed the normal moral and biblical foundations this nation was created upon. Father, would it be possible that you would hand select those individuals, starting with the presidency, down to the least office in the local elections, from the top to the bottom? Would it be possible, Father, could you select those individuals who will honor the Word of God, will honor Jesus Christ, and will seek to advance biblical standards in their governance, in their offices? We ask, Father. Now, we vote according to what we feel we're led to vote for, whom to vote for. But, Lord, we need you to override if we're in error in any way. We need you to hand select those individuals that will be used of you to restore morality and biblical principles to America. Now, Father, most of us recognize the candidates, what they stand for. And we know that some are more in alignment with your word of God, with your word, than the others. So, Father, insofar as that is the reality, help us to vote, guide us to vote for those that you see will be best for our nation. Give us the leadership, Father, we need, not what we deserve. But, Father, if the outcome of this election leads to further degradation and deterioration of this nation, it doesn't matter, because you're still in control. And you may allow that to occur to persecute the church. Because, Father, frankly, we've not been all that we should be as the church. We have compromised. We've got wholesale congregations approving of ungodly, immoral lifestyles. and not saying anything about it for fear of reprisals or financial loss. So, Lord, maybe the church and those that claim to be of the church, maybe we need to be persecuted a little bit more. I don't want to be. I don't want our nation to go down the tubes. And I don't think anybody in the right mind wants that to happen. But, Father, we just can't keep going the way we're going.
Amen. Amen.
So, Lord, we need your help. And, Lord, your word says that if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Father, we're just going to pray that, Lord. And so you, Father, put into office all those that you feel best at this time. But my preference is for those that are godly and will lead this nation back to alignment with your word, your son's teachings, Christian principles, morality. And Father, I bind the spirit of idolatry. Father, it's something we all battle, saved and unsaved. Of course, if you're unsaved, you don't have the ability or the tools to deal with idolatry. But Lord, we want to have Jesus ruling and reigning on the thrones of our lives individually and then corporately and nationally. Yes. So we ask for that. Now, Lord, this Amendment 4 in Florida, rightfully Roe versus Wade was overturned and the issue has been returned to all the states to deal with. Father, I don't want to live in a state that sanctions convenience abortions. Now, anyone with half a brain knows that abortion, most 98% of them, are performed as contraception after the fact. Oops, we made a baby, it's inconvenient, let's kill him or her so it doesn't disrupt our lives. Father, that's murder. It's an abomination. And the innocent blood that screams in your ear every single day must be so heartbreaking to you, Father. And you cannot let that go unpunished. So, Lord, we're asking that not only in Florida, but in all the states that may have this abortion a law or amendment on the ballot, Father, we pray that that convenience abortions up and including to the time of birth, will be outlawed across this land. Father, please, Lord, have mercy upon the unborn children and give us guidance as to how to vote. And I pray that more and more and more Christians will vote this election than have ever voted before and will vote the right way, which is pro-life. I think we can agree on that, Father. That is a good preference. So, with these things in mind, Lord, I just present them before you, Father, and just pray, Lord, your will be done this coming Tuesday. And whatever the outcome, give us the faith and the strength and the courage to keep pressing forward to the high mark of the calling in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray and thank you. Amen.
Our Heavenly Father, it's once again that we find it needful and necessary to approach your throne of grace and to say to you that our eyes is upon you. Father, you are the anchor of our faith. Scripture teaches us that it is you who hold all things together by the word of your power. I want to thank you, Father, for stirring the heart of our pastor this morning. Amen. Sometimes, Father, we have to do things differently. And you are welcome to interrupt anything that take place here for your glory. Amen. Because you know what need to be done, when it need to be done. And this is why it is so important to have sensitivity to the Spirit of the living God. Isaiah talks about that small voice, and he says that this is the way, walk ye in it. But it takes individuals that have ears to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to the body of Christ at this juncture in our nation. And Father, we are at a very pivotal time, and I stand in agreement with our pastor, with the elders here, and the fact that in our lifetime we're seeing increased darkness in our nations. It's like the light has been diminished to some degree, and wickedness is on display. And it's never satisfied. It wants more and more and more. And we have conceded far way too much grounds to the works of darkness. Father, I think about Donald Trump. I'm proud to say that I voted for him 3 times in a row. I think about how you use an individual, and I hear the things about his lifestyles and all of the stuff, but then I come to this conclusion. Whoever you use, they are flawed to begin with. And it's not about so much the individual, it's about who's working behind the individual. Father, I don't know of another individual that could have sustained all of the things that Donald Trump sustained and still be standing. I'm thinking about a billionaire who don't need the headaches, who don't need all of the attacks. But I think his motive is right, Father. I believe that he loved this nation. Genuinely care about this nation. I look back what was happening during the COVID crisis, and Father, he stood for the church. That has to mean something to all of us. I look at the energy and the effort that he put forth in the rallies and being about America first. And we think about our family, Father, and that ought to mean something to us. We think about the body of Christ. God, I know that you are concerned first and foremost about your body. I know that because I can see that in scriptures. And I'm asking that you would help the body of Christ to understand, Father, that you are involved in politics because they infects all of our lives to one degree to another. Amen. I see how that the prophets and the servants of old, they spoke to the kingdom. They warned them of things that was about to take place. I think about Nineveh and all that took place during that time. So the proof is there that you are involved in politics. But Father, here's the difference. As best I see it, one party, you cannot run for that office unless you embrace abortion. That's not even up for discussion. Amen. You cannot run for office if you don't embrace same-sex marriages. That's just the truth. I look at a platform that years ago that was bold enough to say that they didn't want God to be part of their platform. I see a party that is all about destroying the family structure. I see a party that is rooted in Marxism. And just knowing those things, Father, we see so much of the unfruitful works of darkness on display within that party. I am not saying that the Republican Party is all of that, but there are some individuals within it, Father, that I believe that have a heart for the kingdom. And they are fighting to advance the things of the kingdom of God because family means something to them. Their right to be able to worship, their right to want to have freedom and not have people dictate everything in their lives, those things, they mean something. And the fact that we've seen so many attacks against Donald Trump, and I have to believe that your hand has been upon him, Father, because, again, I don't know anybody else that can come through all that he did and still be willing to go on doing what he's doing. And so, Father, there are so much that's hanging in the balance, and it won't be decided by the Republicans nor the Democrats. But you say that we can let our petitions be made known to you because we care about our nation. And we want to see our nation come to genuine repentance. But, Father, there's one thing that nobody could deny. We have seen a manifestation of spiritual wickedness in high places unlike anything that we've ever seen before. The darkness that's in our nation capital is right there in Ephesians. He said we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, thrones, and dominions. And that is on display unlike any other time in my entire life. And Father, we're asking you now for your involvement in the outcome of this election. As best I understand your word, Father, I believe that you're giving us yet another opportunity because our nation has done so much to advance your agenda. Nobody can argue that fact. And it stands to reason why we are such a target. But, Father, I thank you that in the scope of everything that's come into play, we have a guy that don't want our nation to be part of the one world government, not just yet. And so I'm asking you that as we vote, Father, that we would think about your word and the individuals. I don't think it's a complicated decision whatsoever for individuals that have an understanding of your word, your holiness, your righteousness. And so, Father, this day we hold before you. We bring it before you because, Father, you care. And we want the outcome to be something that could advance the kingdom of your dear son. If it's left up to the Democrat Party, Father, they will silence us. They will do everything they can to close the doors of the church because we are their enemy. They hate us. They hate us for what we stand for. So for you in your mercy and in your grace, I just believe that, Father, you've given us one perhaps final opportunity to get this right. My prayer is that all of the deception that's taken place within the voting precincts, all of the schemes and devices that they're doing to advance their agenda, it would be revealed for what it is. And Father, if you see fit to use Donald Trump to turn our nation around, I pray that your hand will be upon every individual that he would put in place in his cabinet. Father, that we can see things turn for our nation. Please, Father, hear our prayer, hear our cry. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Father God, it's in the precious name of Jesus Christ that I come to you, lifting up this nation, Father God. And Father, my brothers have prayed so eloquently, Father God, as led by your Holy Spirit. Father, we agree with everything that they have spoken. And I'm asking, Father God, now, Lord, take these prayers that's lifted up before your very throne. And Father, answer them. Yes. Answer them, Father God. But Father, Lord, we have so much of the church has embraced the culture that we're in today, in this time, instead of embracing your word, Father God. Amen. And Lord, we can look at your word and we know that the heavens and the earth are going to pass away. But your word is forever. Amen. It will always be. And you tell us it will never pass away. And Father God, that being said, we can look in your word and we can discern, Father God, what is right and what is wrong. And Lord God, yet our political leadership, Father God, many times both sides are passing laws and bills and edicts that go directly against your word. Amen. Father, I confess that is sin. Lord, I confess a sin that we as a nation, we as a church, we as individuals have disobeyed your laws, your statutes, and your commandments. And I ask God for your forgiveness for that on behalf of this nation, on behalf of the church, and on behalf of those individuals who have disobeyed your laws, your statutes, your commandments. Especially, Father God, those who call themselves children of God. And Lord, we have disobeyed every commandment that you told us not to. Those commandments that you gave Moses. We're still accountable, Lord. We're still accountable. Jesus Christ fulfilled those. The relationship, Father God, of man to man, and how we should treat our fellow mankind with love, compassion, Father God. And Father God, how you love us and how we should love you. Father God, those Ten Commandments was encompassed by what Christ did on the cross at Calvary. Love your neighbor as thyself. And love you, Father God. Lord, there is no other God. And we know, Father God, that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But Father God, we know that your people who are called by your name can petition you and you will hear them. That's right. If they are clean.
That's right.
So Father God, we come before you this morning asking to forgive us for disobeying your laws, your statutes, and your commandments. Father God, forgive us. Lord, we have looked in your word, and your word says that it's an abomination for man to lie with man as with a woman. God, I confess that is sin.
Amen.
And Lord, we look in Romans where it says that women have left the cause that you created them for. And went burning after others in their lust, one for another, leaving what you have created them for, Lord Jesus. Yet, Father God, we have a culture who are embracing everything that you tell us not to do in your word. I confess that as sin, Lord. And I ask your forgiveness, your forgiveness, Father God, for those sins that we have done and those that we've allowed to become part of the culture, Father God, because we as a church has voted in members who are directly opposed to what your word says. Amen. God, I confess it as sin. I ask your forgiveness. And Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, I bind on earth, I bind in heaven, the strong man that is assigned over Washington, D.C., Father God, that would allow the spirit of deception to be operative in that nation, in that region, in that stronghold, Lord. Amen. Father, I speak destruction in the name of Jesus Christ to the satanic platform that would seek to bring about a one-world government system. Father, I speak in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind on earth the strong men that are assigned over every political region across this United States. And I'm asking Father God to destroy the agenda and the platform that Satan has used these men and these women and the political parties to bring about his agenda, to bring about a one-world government system, a one-world economic system, a one-world church, a one-world agricultural system, all of that, Father. I speak destruction to the satanic platform in the name of Jesus Christ. And I'm asking, Father God, to give us the leader into this nation, Father God, that will bring this nation back to one that serves you and looks forward to serving you, Father God. Give us leadership, Father God, like Quinn said, from the top to the bottom, who are holy, godly men and women whose desire is to serve you and to bring our children up in atmospheres, Father God, that are holy and godly and not an atmosphere that would send them to hell. Amen. Lord Jesus, help us, I pray, at this upcoming election. Hear the hearts of those who prayed, Father God. Give us, Father God, a strong leader that will follow your direction.
Amen.
That will follow your word. And I'm asking, Father God, to make your people who are called by your name strong in the spirit. Give them a face like flint, a head like flint that the enemy cannot infiltrate. Amen. Father God, I'm asking for these little pockets of fire that spread all over the nation, Father God, where your Holy Spirit has started revival in the colleges and those places, Father God, that we never hear about on the news.
No.
God, let it be said, and let these, Father God, this younger generation spread the gospel throughout this nation. And Lord God, let it start with a change of leadership that would allow that to happen.
Amen.
I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Pastor Bob.
Amen. And all of God's people said.
Amen.
Amen. Anybody else want to add their prayer to what's been prayed? Anybody at all? Okay, then I'll close it with prayer. If my people, which are called by my name, Father, that's where we are this morning. If we prayed one thing this morning contrary to your desire, your will, ignore it.
Amen.
Just ignore it, Lord. But everything we have prayed, that's in accordance with your will, we ask you to breathe on it.
Amen.
We ask you to breathe on it. We ask you to honor it and bring it to pass.
Yes, sir.
Now, Father, we realize there's a lot hanging in the balance. A lot hanging in the balance. And I just agree with my brothers in everything they've prayed in accordance with your will. I pray asking you, show yourself strong. Show yourself strong. Defeat every item that would feed and in any way enlarge the satanic agenda. Oh, Father God, have mercy. Have mercy. We pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Hearts, once again, I want to thank you for joining us today here on Challenge. And once again, that was our Sunday morning service yesterday morning. Never had one like that before. I've never had a service where we dedicated the entire service to prayer, focusing on one or two items that we knew we needed a move of God in order to defeat what the enemy was trying to do. I want you to understand, Satan has an agenda, and we, the people of God, we are the only ones who can stand in the hedge, make up the gap, and stand against what Satan is trying to do. Keep this in mind. Let's close with prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the opportunity of sharing this message and this service yesterday morning with our radio congregation. I pray that you will stir their hearts to come before your throne in intercessory prayer, unrelenting intercessory prayer, as we come before your throne on behalf of this nation and the kingdom of God in this nation. And, Father God, we stand against anything and everything that Satan is trying to introduce into this state or any other state in this nation that would advance the satanic agenda. So, Father, we ask you, hear our prayer, honor our prayer, and be blessed in doing so. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Well, folks, keep praying, keep praying. Thanks for joining us today on Challenge. Until we have a chance to do this again, be blessed.